offers forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That's the end of Luke. Luke wrote of Jesus from the beginning of his birth, his crucifixion, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, and his appearance to the disciples to prove that he was indeed alive. But Jesus said, wait here a minute. Hold on a second. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and then you'll see what's going to come next. How many of you like holding on a second? Waiting for the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. How many of us like waiting for anything? No. See, we're just like those early apostles and disciples. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, dear Theophilus, in my first book, the book of Luke, which I just quoted from, I told you everything about Jesus as he began to teach until the day he had ascended to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions from the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he had actually risen from the dead and was alive. On these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. What did the apostles expect him to talk about? The freeing, right, of the Israelites against the Romans. They expected that God would send the Messiah to free them of oppression. They were in the natural, right? They thought that God was going to free them from political problems. Wasn't meant to be. Is it meant to be even today? But Christ had not an earthly kingdom. He had a godly kingdom, right? He talked to them about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the earth, not the kingdom of people, not the power of people, not the oppression of people, but the kingdom of God and what God's kingdom is like. And God's kingdom is nothing like the world's kingdom. Lest we forget, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are a godly people. Above this earth, we have heavenly hopes, don't we? We have higher expectations. We believe in greater things than what we can see with our own eyes. We believe in miracles and power from God, right? And we believe in God's unconditional love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and change and resurrection, right? We believe in those things. That's what God's kingdom is about. It's not about life and death. It's only about life. Life in the now, abundant life, and life in the future as well. Hold on a second. In one of those meetings, as he was eating with them, he told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you what he promised. Remember, I have told you about this before. John baptized with the water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." See, in order for us to become like Christ and like God, we have to be born again. Not of the world, not of the earth, not of humanness, but of godliness, right? And it's born of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples had to have that happen too. Hold on a second. Somebody back there really doesn't want to wait. When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, are you going to free Israel now and restore our kingdom?" These apostles, every time they're with Jesus, what is he trying to teach them about? God's kingdom. What are they waiting for? Their kingdom. My kingdom. When is my kingdom come? Right? "And the Father sets those days," Jesus replied, "and they're not for you to know. So stop asking me." I added that. Verse 8, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, about Jesus everywhere. What's the kingdom of God going to be about for those apostles? Telling people about Jesus, everything about him, what he did while he was alive, what he did when he died, and the fact that he rose from the dead. And their message was to be that there is forgiveness of sins for all. That's the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's what Jesus was telling these apostles. He says, begin in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it began with those early apostles, right? Who's going to finish it? Who's going to work on it? We are, right? We are. Isn't it exciting? Can you imagine what those disciples felt like? Wow, we're going to talk about everything Jesus did. We're going to proclaim his love and his mercy and his grace and his power to everybody around the world. Wow, were they excited, right? Couldn't wait to get at it, could they? Hold on a second. It was not long after he said this that he was taken up into the sky while they were watching, and he disappeared into a cloud. As they were straining their eyes to see him, two white-robed men suddenly stood there among them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, and someday, just as you saw him go, he will return." Wow. Someday, Jesus will return. Hold on a second. The apostles were at the Mount of Olives when this happened, so they walked the half mile back to Jerusalem, because what Jesus had said to them, do what? Go back to Jerusalem and do what? Wait. Hold on a second, right? Just wait for what? The Holy Spirit to come. So very often in our life, aren't we like ahead of God? Do you ever get ahead of God? Do you ever like walk out in front of God and go do what you're going to do? So excited about it, you can't wait to do it. And it's godly work, and you just know that you're called to go do it. So you take off and go, right? Getting ahead of God. But what does God say? Hold on a second. You have to wait for what? The Holy Spirit, for spiritual guidance and direction, for God to go before you, to lead you, and to empower you by the Holy Spirit. So they went upstairs to the room of the house where they were staying. Here is a list of who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas, son of James. They all met together continually for prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, on a day when about 120 believers were present, Peter stood up and addressed them as follows. Okay, everybody, I'm in charge now. Brothers, it was necessary for the scriptures to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided the temple police to arrest Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us, chosen to share in the ministry with us. Judas bought a field with the money he received for his treachery, and falling there, he burst open, spilling out his intestines. The news of his death spread rapidly among all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the name, which means field of blood. Peter continued, this was predicted in the book of Psalms, where it says, let his home become a desolate with no one living in it, and again, let his position be given to someone else. So now we must choose another man to take Judas's place. It must be someone who has been with us all the time that we were with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken into heaven. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, and Matthias. Then they all prayed for the right man to be chosen. O Lord, they said, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas, the traitor, in this ministry. For he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and in this way, Matthias was chosen and became an apostle with the other 11. We're supposed to have how many apostles? 12. One was missing. What does Peter do? We're going to pick one. Later on in Scripture, when you read in the book of Acts, you ever heard of the man Saul? And God did what? Knocked him off his horse and did what? Chose him to be an apostle. Number 13. See, when I read this, I look at this and say, what did Jesus say to Peter and all the rest of them? Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you're going to start your ministry. See, the cool thing about this is God allows Matthias to be chosen. Matthias had been with Jesus when he was baptized. He had seen everything that there was that Jesus had done. But what did Peter want to do? He wanted to kind of jump the gun and pick what he thought was that you had to absolutely have 12 apostles. So therefore, we, those people, those apostles, those leaders, needed to pick one. And they do it in such a godly manner. They cast lots. Anybody got a quarter? Let's see, who should the next pastor of the church be? Let's see, we'll pick out two people who like God. You like God? You like God, right? Okay, beautiful. We're going to flip a coin and decide who's next. When you do it that way, does it make sense? Now see, here's the thing. This is just another example of why we as people have to wait on God. No matter what decision you have to make, it may not have any effect on apostleship or discipleship or church business or church leadership or any of those things. But in your own personal life, each of you make decisions all the time, don't you? What if instead of it being, I'll ask this person, I'll ask that person, I'll look it up on the internet, I'll ask Siri, I'll ask Google, and then I'll get an app and I'll use this little spinner thing and let's see whatever it picks out, yes or no, then I'll make a decision. Remember that little magic eight ball? You remember that, right? Yeah, you remember that far back, right? You remember it, remember it? Who still has one? Oh my goodness gracious, nostalgia. You still have them. And how many of you use that for your daily decisions? Please say no is right. The front row pastors are like flipping out on me here. But we laugh about it, but how often do we in our own mind think this is what God wants, right? It makes perfect sense. Now, Peter, he even quoted scripture, didn't he? Right? He found scriptures to say the man had to be replaced. Yes, Judas had to be replaced, but who's going to replace him? God is. God is. And in all of our lives, if we'll wait on God, now God will let you make those decisions. He let the apostles choose Matthias, and Matthias did do some miraculous things. Although you don't see any books of the Bible being written by Matthias, do you? Paul became the one that wrote the good quarter of the New Testament, right? Because God had chosen him. And sometimes we want to be chosen by God for things, don't we? Of course we do. Excuse me, God, let me be the one. But aren't you glad that, you know, like, the other morning I was thinking, you know, I should lead the choir. I love music. I love singing praises to my God. Well, the front row is really having a problem this morning. And so I got my magic eight ball out. And I said, oh God, Should I be the one to lead the choir from now on? I know all the music. I don't even need anybody playing an instrument. I can sing like right at the top of my lungs. Any song, and I can make it up as I go. So I flipped it open, and it said, definitely not. And so I said, well, the best out of five. So maybe. Not a good idea. You should do it. That's the answer. Yes. And the church prayed. And said, hold on a second. Hold on. Not so fast. Just wait a minute. How about we let God choose? You like that, man? You know, you like that method better, church? So often we get what we consider to be good ideas, and they may very well be based in some scriptures, and they may very well be based on what we believe is true for us, right? But you have to get confirmation from God. You have to hold on a second. And in fact, Jesus waited 50 days from his resurrection until the Holy Spirit came. 50 long days. Peter couldn't wait how long? One day. Right? He's got to take matters into his own hands, right? God is trying to teach us all that the Holy Spirit will come, will guide us, will direct us. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't come yet, you do what? Very good answer. And every once in a while, God says, no, not you. Oh, but I wanted to sing. God says, for the good of my people, I'm choosing another. And so the Lord blessed the people, right? As you go through your spiritual walk these next 40-some-odd days, June 4th is when Pentecost will actually take place. That's when the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, I don't know when your 50 days of waiting are going to be up. But wait. Hold on a second. Don't be so anxious to run after things or people or anything in your life ahead of God. Wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came and changed Peter when his first sermon was totally different than what he did here. He wasn't throwing dice trying to make decisions. He wasn't flipping coins, and he certainly didn't have the magic eight ball to decide. He relied on the Holy Spirit. And each of us that have the Holy Spirit within us, listen to that. And many times the Holy Spirit says, wait, hold on a second. I've got plans. And it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Saul and changed him. No one would have chosen Saul to be an apostle. He was a detestable man. He persecuted the Christians, right? No one would, in their right mind, Peter never, ever would have chosen Saul. And some of you think God would never, ever choose you. Not so. Not so. God chooses those he will choose. But we have to let God be the one that makes the choices, right? When God steps in, the man Saul changed and was transformed and began to become a great, awesome evangelist and apostle for Christ. That was God's choice long before Matthias was chosen, right? So please be patient with yourself and with God. Whatever answers you need for your life, whatever decisions you are to make, do me a favor for all of you that use, my Yankee came out for just a second. I really was putting two words together. All of you that use, but all of yous that use, that magic eight ball. Can you pitch it today? It's a great game, but it's not the way to run your life, especially God's kingdom, right? Aren't you glad that you have a church body and a church with leaders that rely on the Holy Spirit? And yes, there are times we'd like things to be different here and greater here and all these other ideas that come sometimes our way from well-meaning people and even ourselves. Because we've given creative thoughts, yes. But we wait upon the Holy Spirit always, right? And we let the Holy Spirit choose for us. Yes, they chose Matthias and he did great things. But that wasn't quite what God wanted to teach those disciples or apostles. Waiting and holding on a second for the Holy Spirit is a much more valuable lesson for all of us to learn by the examples of these apostles. So whenever you're going to make a decision, you're going to
wait at least a second.
At least a second. And at first, God doesn't give me the answer I want. Try again, right? We're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. And you'll know when the Holy Spirit comes, right? You'll know that. The more you are with the Holy Spirit, and the more you are with God, and the more obedient you are to God, more knowledge, more understanding is given. The apostles prayed every day. We pray, too, for God's kingdom to come, where all humanity can know God's love and mercy and grace. And when is Christ coming? Someday. And in the meantime, we're going to hold on a second. Wait for the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, and then watch and see the miracles God performs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.